Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Experience summer comfort for less. Explore our sale on curtains and bedding. Perfect time to update and freshen your home.
We've been discussing what's going to happen when these new rent rules come in March, and we've been getting lots and lots of people getting in touch with us, both landlords and tenants who seem to be affected by it already, even though the rules are not going to be coming in until March. We have Claire on the line. Claire, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon. Hello, Sarah, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us on the programme this afternoon. Can you tell me your own situation?
Oh, actually, a few weeks ago, nearly a month ago, many people or tenants in this in our area actually received the eviction letter. So I was suspecting that I'll receive one as well. So, and it happened last week, I received the eviction letter. And it doesn't really state anything much. It just says that the landlord is entitled to terminate a tenancy. So I'm leaving. I'm staying here nearly 10 years. Until next March of 2020.
Okay.
Next March.
So you've been in that apartment block for 10 years, and you're in the Cork area, Claire. Is that right?
Yes.
And have you been in Ireland long?
Oh, yes, I'm here 26 years.
Okay. And I suppose that apartment is like home if you've been there 10 years.
Yes, it is. And it's actually very central and close to my workplace. So it is really. And I like the place, you know, I love the area.
You had been hearing from other people in the apartment block that they were getting eviction letters in the last couple of weeks.
Yes, they did.
Do you have any idea how many people in the apartment block? I don't know how many people you've spoken to personally who have got eviction letters.
Personally, maybe six already personally, but I've seen letters in the letter box, same as mine, you know.
Okay. So there's lots and lots of them coming in. You've sent us a copy of the eviction letter you got yourself, and it says, as you've said yourself, it says, we have provided you with the legally required notice of 224 days. So you have 224 days to get out. That brings you up, I think, to March next year. What are you going to do?
Yes. I don't know, really, because, like, when I received, at first I wasn't really panicking, you know, but I was praying that, oh my God, I probably won't get it. You know, I was just hoping. But anyway, eventually last week when I got it, I was really panicking and I was under pressure really. When I look at the auctioneers for property to rent, there's no available rent for us here, you know.
There's nothing that you can find available to rent?
No, and I've searched in all auctioneer in the area. At the moment, they couldn't give us. There's no available place for rent, you know.
And would buying a property, would that be an option for you at all?
I tried it. I actually went to the bank last week and I checked it, but I don't know if I'm really candidate for it because of my age also. So I don't know if I'm still can because of my age.
And what age are you? Do you mind me asking?
I'm 55.
You're 55, so you think the bank is going to be reluctant to give you a mortgage because of your
exactly.
age?
Exactly. So although I tried it and I already kind of started documents if I can, and I'm actually looking for the property that I can actually afford. All I need is accommodation, but at the moment there's no place for rent, you know.
So, I mean, what are your options then? If you know, you have those 224 days, it's laid out very starkly in the letter, to try and find something. But as we all know, we're in the middle of a really serious housing crisis. So do you have any other options if you can't find somewhere to rent and if you can't get a mortgage?
Actually, at the moment, I'm trying my best to look for mortgage and look for a property. And my only and to the worst point, I'm actually looking for even for a room to rent, you know. But even for a room to rent, there's no available out there, you know.
Okay.
And even for a room to rent, they're looking for 800 for a small room. And it wasn't available anymore. It was gone when I checked it, you know.
800 for one room and it was gone.
Yeah, it was gone. So I'm really kind of really stressed. Under pressure, really stressed after I received it. at first, like I said, I wasn't really worried, and I was praying and hoping that I won't get it and I would stay here for another few years. But eventually I got it last week, and I was just really kind of disappointed and disgusted that a lot of people are actually, and this is happening to a lot of people, you know, not only me, but a lot of people, you know. I've heard a lot of people, and I'm talking to people that it will be more as close to March of next year.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can hear the stress in your voice, actually, and the distress in your voice, you know, to be faced with this situation. I have to say, because you sent us a copy of the letter, and just even myself looking at it with the big, bold letters at the top, notice of termination, you know, I can't imagine being in that situation where you're so vulnerable in the middle of a housing crisis and getting that letter in the door.
Exactly. And it's like there's really no choice for people to just to be homeless. I don't really know. And like I said, I don't really know, because like it's I feel worse. I feel really bad. But how much more for the real Irish people, you know?
Well, you've been here for 26 years.
And to be home in their own country. You know, so.
And where are you from, Claire, originally?
I'm actually from the Philippines.
From the Philippines. So I assume you've been here for 26 years. Ireland is home. I mean, you wouldn't consider moving to the Philippines.
Exactly. This is my home now, you know. So, but I don't know. But this is just really kind of really putting a lot of people pressure and stress, really. Really, I'm stressed and I have to go to the doctor. When I received this, because my blood pressure actually went up high, because I don't know what to do, really, you know. And I was panicking also, because I look in the auction and there's nothing there, you know. So I don't know. I said, I'm just hoping and pray that in the next few months now, before the eviction time, how will be a property I'll find a place, you know.
And are you worried? Go on.
Oh, sorry. But even, you know, no friends can actually give me a place, because really they also have, they can't, you know?
Yeah, they have no space
They have no place.
Yeah, that's not a long-term solution, you know, to sleep on somebody's couch. Although I know a lot of people are facing that and are in that situation around the country, but like that's not where you want to end up, obviously, even if it was an option. Are you worried, Claire, that you may find yourself homeless, seeking homeless accommodation?
I was really, really worried, you know. And I said, oh my God, because I wasn't expecting that this will happen, because before there was really no problem of renting, you know, a place. But this was not expecting of, I wasn't expecting this, really, you know. Although the letter, I was expecting the letter because some people already received it, you know. And we came here the same year. So I knew that I'm actually going to receive it as well. But I wasn't expecting that I'd be homeless or, you know, I'll be in the situation after being here for so long, you know?
Yeah. Well, you thought it would work out, you know, and I suppose, like, I understand that sort of an optimistic, you know, it'll be fine. It's just occurring to me as you're talking there that if other people, as you say, the other people that you're speaking to in the apartment are also getting evicted, you're going to have a lot of people on the market at the same time looking for properties, which is going to make it more difficult for everyone.
It would be worse. It would be worse because, like, how many people, if you say 10 people or say 10 or 12 people will be evicted from the place. So it would be 12 people and plus other places would be looking for the market, you know. And it's worse again because I cannot even find one for myself. Never mind the 12.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. It's kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say hopeless. I was just praying, like I said, I was praying and hoping at the same time that I'll find a place, you know. But if I don't, that is a question, you know, that's the most worrying part of me now.
And are you sleeping? Are you able to sleep?
Oh, the last week, you know, as I said, I went to the doctor, I was kind of stressed. But now I'm trying to relax because I said, I don't want to die before the eviction. You know, my blood pressure is really high, and I said I'll try to relax And like that now I try to look into the online properties to check every day, or the auctioneer, or I try to ask people around if they know properties for rent or whatever, you know. That's all I can do. But after that, I really don't know. Like I said, I'm just hoping and praying for a place for me to move out, you know, to move in, you know.
Okay. Well, Claire, stay with us if you don't mind. We have Geraldine Mills on the line, and Geraldine, you're very welcome as well to the programme this afternoon. I know you can see this really from both sides of you, of both points of view. Can you tell me your own situation?
Yeah. Oh, Sarah, my heart goes out to Claire. And I've been where she has been. I've been a renter in the past. Both my sons are renting. But I am a landlord who is now about to give notice to the person who's lived in our apartment for over 10 years. And we just got to the point, Sarah, was we couldn't do it anymore. We're in our 60s. We're both working. My job wouldn't be well paid, but the rent from the apartment, albeit small enough, was the bit that glued our family, you know, in terms of income together. And we've happily rented out. We bought it in 2008, happily rented it out since then. It's all worked fine. We've had good tenants, bad tenants, great tenants. The current one has been there for over 10 years. And just when the recession hit and the property halved in value, and then the RPZs came in, which was supposed to be an emergency for 3 years. Put it this way, Sarah, I'm getting €20 more now than I was getting in 2010, roughly, a month. Yeah. But the prices have gone up. We're trying also to pay our own mortgage. Lucky enough, we've paid that off now. But we've mortgages on these properties. And do you know what did it for me, Sarah? And, you know, my heart goes out to these people. We've talked to our tenant at length. We've tried to see if there are other options. We've offered them first offer on the apartment, but they're not interested in buying. They want to rent, and I can understand that. But what did it for us was when the government announced recently that there was yet more legislation coming in, and that the only way, and if I read it right, the only way in a few years' time that I would either be able to sell my apartment or move into it, or have a family member move into it, is if I pleaded poverty. Now, I've worked all my life, and I've bought that apartment for an investment in our future, my children's future, whatever, or as an investment. And to think that I would have to go to some maybe civil servant or a government minister to say, I am poverty stricken, can I please sell my house without a tenant, or an apartment without a tenant? I mean, it beggars belief. And I suppose, Sarah, the other thing, I have been thinking about this for a few years, because the RPZs have been a disaster for people who are stuck in the RPZs, both as landlords and tenants, because it has made it impossible for small landlords like ourselves to have the money, the finances, the wherewithal to keep renting it out. And I heard a statistic a few years ago about 40,000 rentals have left the market in the last 5 years. Mine will be one of those next year. But can you imagine the power that would be if 40,000 people hadn't decided to get out? I know some of them sold their places, but some of us didn't. We just left them empty because we didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah, there's just for what it's worth
the housing prices.
Yeah, there is a lot. I know the figures you're talking about, and it's been discussed at length in Oireachtas committees, and there's a lot of confusion over them, exactly what they mean and how we interpret them. But some people do say very firmly that that landlords are leaving. Then there's other figures that you look at that suggest maybe they're not leaving. You know,
I
understand. Your own point, right, on this is you really, if those new rules were coming in, and just for people who are coming to this, because the new rules are, as we were talking about yesterday, they're quite complicated, but just for smaller landlords, which would be yourself, Geraldine, what the new rules will mean from March 1st is that new tenancies from March 1st must give a 6-year minimum duration tenancy to whoever moves in. And during that time, if you wanted to evict the your tenant for whatever reason, you would have to as you say, plead hardship. You'd be entitled to terminate if there's an intention to sell or to renovate the property, or else if you wanted it for a family member. They're the reasons that you could sell. You're saying that's making you go.
Oh, absolutely. I have bought and paid for that property. We've paid our tax. We've then taken out a mortgage, paid that. We've dealt with all sorts of tenants. It has been great. It has been bad. It has been all of that. But
to be then at the point where, because there is a lack of social housing, a lack of government intervention, to say that now we are being told this in the future. There's so many regulations about renting already that it's just becoming impossible, and the money isn't there. If you're getting half the going rate because you're at RPZ rents, and yet everything in your apartment has to be top-notch in light of regulations and all of that, where are we supposed to get that money?
See,
like the investors, okay. The multiple investors can charge going rates, or if you're new to a rental, you can charge the market rent. But people caught in the RPZs can't.
Okay. So are you sending out, have you sent your eviction letter, Geraldine?
No, we've been talking with the tenant, but that is going in the next few weeks. We're trying all we can to see, might they buy, is there any other options? But we've come back, as late as last week, we had a conversation, and it looks like this. We can't, none of us, both owner and tenant, can see a way out of this. Like, he can't offer to give us more rent so we can pay for refurbishment, because that would be illegal.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to buy because, obviously, we don't expect everyone to buy. People need houses that they can rent, that they can do whatever they want. And for the government, I think, to selectively pick on this particular cohort, I think what they're doing, Sarah, is getting rid of people like myself before they've had a chance to build the house. For God's sake, please stop. Review what's there. Make it a fair market.
Well, yeah.
And then keep building and building.
Yeah, I suppose that's what they think they have done with this plan. I understand that's your thought, but they presented it in their view. This is a plan that balances tenants' and landlords' rights. I understand that you're not happy with it.
I know, it's not that I'm happy, not happy. I was a tenant, my sons are tenants. I'm absolutely all for tenants' rights. And in the day, Sarah, when we started renting out, there was no such thing as a Part 4 tenancy. We could only give a tenant a one-year lease.
Mm.
We weren't allowed to give any more. The tenant wasn't allowed to take any more. So that has moved in the early 28s to a position now where the proposal is what it'll be. But nobody has come back. I don't know if the IPOA has a view on this, but it'd be worth talking to them, because nobody has asked the current landlords whether the rent that they're getting now is sufficient to make that possible,
okay.
Whether their circumstances are right. If I owned a car, I wouldn't be asked to keep it for 6 years in case somebody wanted to. And I know that's been very facetious.
I understand.
There,
well, yeah.
But it's got to the point.
Okay. 51551, if people want to get in touch with us on this, it's 0818715815 is the phone number. And you can email us liveline@rte.ie. Particularly interested as well to hear from tenants on this. John O'Brien is on the line. John, you're very welcome. What's your own situation?
Good afternoon, Sarah. Our situation is we're a married couple, we have our own house, and we have an apartment that our plan was to retire there in 3 years' time. Under the new legislation that has come in, we cannot move to that apartment in 3 years' time, which we had agreed with the tenant, because only if a couple are separated or divorced and are living in two different properties can that happen. So for a married couple or a couple, they cannot do it, okay? So and that is the new rule. It's one of the new rules coming in. So that puts us in a very difficult situation. We love our tenant. Our tenant is over 60. And our plan was that when we were ready to move in and dispose of our own house, we would help find that tenant another place. And that's just duty of care. Now we're in a situation where we have three choices. With this new legislation, the first choice would be to give the tenant notice straight away. And we're not going to do that, because if you just listen to your first speaker today, you saw the pain and that person was going through. The second choice we have is to sell it. But if we sell it, we'd have to sell it before the 28th of February. Otherwise, you have to sell it with the tenant in situ. And we would insist, if we were selling it, that the tenant would be in situ in any case. So it is a really, really sad and difficult situation. We purchased in 2008, so there's no big capital gain. The return we're getting is 3% gross, which is about 1.2% in terms of rent and that. Everything works great. We meet the tenant every month, make sure everything is right. because they're just such lovely people. And that's the situation. And it's not poor me, poor me. It's our issue is government interference. Just could you just leave things other than protect tenants' rights?
Yeah, and I know Claire, sorry, Geraldine was also making a similar point around the government interference. But can you understand, John, from the point of view, I suppose, of the government and people maybe who can't get a house, that they're looking at record homelessness and they're looking at people can't find a place to rent and they're looking at record rents and everyone's screaming at the government to interfere to do something to fix it, you know?
Yeah, and Sarah, though, the balance to that is, and absolutely everything you say is true, like, and we would be so pro-tenant, we've been very lucky with tenants we've had. But what's actually happening is that for people of my generation, the same as your previous speaker, the dream would be you got a redundancy package someplace, sometime you bought an apartment where when you're less able, you would then move and live in the apartment and then your house would be your pension when you would sell it on. Okay, so the issue for me is that what you're doing is you're driving out landlords. So for young people now, you'd say, oh, God, put your money into a pension scheme. Don't bother putting it into property. Hence, you're not giving accommodation. You're not providing for people then who need accommodation in that whilst you're holding on.
The worst thing, Sarah, is
it's fine for, I'm in Dublin, it's fine for us in Dublin. These big companies can come in and these big companies can buy loads and loads of apartments and they can make sure the tenants are protected, et cetera, et cetera. But if you go to rural Ireland, okay, a small village, the big companies aren't going to buy five or six apartments there. But the local small builder, it's no incentive anymore for them to build five or six apartments and let them out, which are badly needed.
And just back to yourself, John, for a second then. What conclusion have you come to? What are you going to do?
I think we have no idea. The tenant we have, okay, is so lovely, okay, that we'll just have to figure maybe just wait 6 years, give them a contract in March for 6 years. But it has, like, totally upset our plans and our dreams. And it's not through our own fault.
Okay.
That's the situation. In 6 years' time, we'll be in the same situation where we'll be trying to help the tenant to find anything. I mean, that's basically it. That's where we stand.
Okay.
We stand by our tenants.
Yeah, you don't want to evict the tenant, so you're probably, you think, going to leave the tenant there and take the 6 years instead of moving in there yourself in 2 years, which is
the
plan.
Do a side deal, but a non-side deal, but it's breaking the law then.
Yeah.
But it's just the principle of it, Sarah. I think it's very wrong. Just if a couple, okay, are not allowed to retire and move into their apartment, okay, during the course of the six-year period. Now, your parents can go in, your children can go into the apartment, but we wouldn't lie to our tenant.
Mm.
You know, you can get around everything. Ireland, everyone gets around everything, sadly, in this country. But in terms of us as a couple, it's just the principle of a married couple or a couple cohabiting, it doesn't matter which.
Yeah.
But they had this life dream, and our retirement is in 2 years' time.
I understand.
And God, Sarah, we're so lucky when you hear some of the people on your show. Can I say that to you as well?
I know. And I'm going to go back to Claire in a second, but just because there's a lot of confusion, I think, even from the people we've spoken to about exactly what these rules are going to be. And indeed, there's a lot of detail that we don't have yet because the legislation hasn't been published. But from the information that I have, John, just for what it's worth, it does say that smaller landlords will only be permitted to terminate a tenancy when they face hardship, as you've said yourself. But also a tenancy will also be terminable when the landlord acquires the dwelling for an immediate family member. So it may be that in your situation, that would be an option if you needed it for yourselves.
Sarah, I have seen your podcast and read it, and because it affected ourselves, I've done the research, but it also specifically says that it's in situations where couples face hardship through separation or divorce, where one will live in the main residence and one moves into the apartment or whatever. Couples cohabiting, couples are discriminated against.
We'll try and get some clarity on it to see if your interpretation of it is correct, because I know you've done your research, as you say yourself. I'm going to bring Claire back in briefly. And Claire, you've listened to all that. That's two landlords who really are struggling with the rules and trying to figure out what to do, you know, on the other side of things. What do you think of what they're saying? Do you understand the situation they're in?
Yes. Can I actually just add? I was talking to someone really when I received the letter, and in next year, March of next year, when this new legislation, the only criteria that the landlord can actually set is into three criteria: a divorce, a debt, of the owner and a bankruptcy or hardship.
Mm.
And this is actually the legislation of March 26th. It's actually hitting both the tenants and the landlord.
It's hitting you both, because, you reckon? Okay, go on.
It's like the landlord has, like I heard the two of them, it's actually reasonable. You know, like I would be in the same position wherein I actually bought a property and I couldn't leave it, you know, when I needed it. I understand their point of view. But because of this legislation coming in place in next March, it's actually, the landlords are also afraid of what's happening to them. And in the chamber, actually, is affecting the tenancy.
Okay. Well, Claire...
So when they give up their property and they don't want to rent it out, the property, it actually affects the tenancy because of the legislation. But maybe without the legislation like this now, there would be a little bit of something in between. They actually leave their tenants for a while, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, like I said, the heads of the bill haven't been published, so there may be some changes coming. We'll see. But in the meantime, you have the stress of trying to find somewhere. Claire, we'll keep in touch, you know, over the next couple of months, and we wish you the very best in the meantime in your search to try and find something.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And John, thank you very much as well. Lots of issues being raised there, folks, and I know it's confusing because I think there is an awful lot of confusion around it, and we are trying to get clarity on exactly what is planned here and what situation people will be in, and we'll try and bring those to you as we get the clarity. Right now, though, we're going to take a quick break.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, 0818 715 815.
Rachel joins us on the line. Rachel, good afternoon. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Sarah.
You have a terrible problem with rats. Can you tell me where this all started and when this all started?
I discovered it back in January, but it looks like they'd been coming into the house undetected for at least 12 months. And there was no smell, no noise. There was nothing, absolutely no sign of droppings visible anywhere. And my washing machine packed up at the end of January, so I pulled it out. I would be very particular around the house, so I would be very particular about the cleanliness of the house and everything. And I pulled out the washing machine, and my dad was to call in to have a look at it. And when I pulled it out, I discovered that there were shovels and shovels of droppings of varying degrees. Some of them were like sawdust. They were there so long. And the smell was horrendous. So we kind of shoveled it all up, and we filled a box with the droppings, actually. So we put down traps and bait, and they weren't taking anything. So we got pest control came in, and the guy found a hole in the wall in the corner of the kitchen under my kitchen unit behind the kickboards. And we discovered that they had also found their way up inside between the wall and the insulation of my oven, the cooker. They had gotten into the extractor pipe. They'd eaten two holes in it. They'd gotten into the canopy of the extractor, and they were eating the oil, you know, from the filters. And they, I discovered a hole under the garden wall that wasn't visible at all. And my neighbour ended up filling it with concrete for me. And when I measured it with a bamboo, it's over 2 feet deep. So basically, it's gone on since January. I've had loads of people in trying to help me, and like pest experts, engineers, carpenter, roofer, because some of my roof had to come off. My cupboards had to be cut out. The wall had to cut in the kitchen to try and follow the track of them, because basically they're following the channel of the piping. So from there, once they got into the kitchen through this foundation, they were able to travel up in under the floor of the bath, and they were under the bath, and then they made their way under the landing floor. And when they came up through the floor of my hot press, I moved out. Oh. I was trying to handle it and manage it and be strong about it and think, okay, I'm not going to get out. So I live on my own, and I moved in with my parents because there was nowhere else to go. And I was there for nearly 3 months. And we were in and out. The house was destroyed. Things were being cut, taken out, taken up, dumped. The patio, I was advised to take it up because the pest controllers were saying, oh, I'd say it's under that because they're coming in from under that because it's the deck. and we took it up. There was absolutely not a sign of a dropping anywhere.
Oh, no.
And anyone that came in that knew what they were talking about said that they felt that they were coming from underground from the pipes, and that they had found a weakness in the structural, like the structural weakness or a weakness in a pipe somewhere. So we actually found a hole where they had access to the pipes under my neighbour's manhole. So we filled that, and we filled the hole with the concrete, and we're doing all this on our own now. My dad is helping me, and my neighbour, he's brilliant, Liam, he's helping me a lot as well. So so we filled that, and it kind of quietened down a little bit, so I decided I'd move in back in to see how things were going. And plus, my parents don't need me at home with them at this stage of the game. Like, they just don't. And so I moved back in, and I could still hear a tiny little thing, and I thought, oh, no, I don't think so, that's probably a mouse. But it has absolutely gone insane now again for the last few weeks, and I'm at the point of where I think I'm going to have to move out again, because they are making an awful racket in the ceiling between the upstairs and the downstairs, particularly in my sitting room. And it's like they arrive in the ceiling via a lift. There's no sound of them coming up the wall, nothing. And they arrive in the corner, and I could have them in the three of the corners of the room. They haven't made it to the fourth one yet. And they're also in the corner on the opposite wall in the kitchen. And they seem to be moving along the dining kitchen area to another corner. But I was sitting on the sofa last Saturday having my lunch, and I heard one gnawing at the joist over my head. I could hear the timber. He was eating into the timber.
Oh, my God.
And about shortly after that, then he moved about 2 feet across the ceiling on the other side of it. So I think he ate a hole for himself and moved in. So one of the neighbours woke. They're on both sides of me as well, because we're in a block of four. And one of the neighbours woke on Sunday night twice, because she said she heard what sounded like a bowling ball hitting her ceiling over her head. And I actually heard that myself on Sunday afternoon, but I wasn't in my own hall and landing. But I wasn't at home on Sunday night, so I didn't hear that. So basically, the house is wrecked. All my appliances had to be dumped. I had to buy them, buy new ones. And it's just an absolute nightmare. It's like, and it's still summer, so people are going, oh, no, you can't have rats in the summer. They don't come in. So I looked it up, and apparently they don't self-regulate like humans. So when it's really hot, they have to come in for shelter. And my backyard is directly adjacent to a huge building site. So they've been displaced and disturbed there. It's gone on for about 2 years now. So both engineers and all the pest experts said to me that they felt they were tunneling down the gardens, all three of the gardens, and coming in under the house then. And now my house has been the most damaged. It's just potluck. They just went one direction and not the other. So they are, and they're not, they are going into the attic, but only sometimes.
Okay.
They're mostly in the ceiling of the downstairs, because I think the attic is too hot.
Okay, but it is now. So, we'll see how they are when it comes to the winter.
Yeah, so exactly. So they are, when we closed the hole, I think they just found another way in. They just kept coming and just ate another hole, but we don't know where it is. So I've been on to the council, I've been on to Ishgair and all that, because you can't go messing around with sewers and drains and stuff when you don't know what you're dealing with. But I haven't heard back, so I'm really at my wit's end. I think I'm actually going mad, and I'm running out of money. It's costing a fortune.
How much have you spent so far? Because it sounds like an awful lot of work that you've done.
Yeah, and luckily now I've had a bit of help, and my dad is great and Liam is great, and we've packed the walls with steel wool because they don't like it. And we've packed around pipes, and the stud wall between my downstairs loo and the understairs cupboard, they came down the stud wall there actually as well. And there was a nest there because there was a baby rat came down into the floor of the toilet by the U-bend of the toilet. I know, yeah.
Sorry.
And yeah. So, it's kind of hard to give you an estimate, but definitely about $5,000 so far if I factor everything in. And it's not finished because my patio hasn't been replaced, and my bath, there's a hole cut on the side of the bath, so we could so we could access inside. And I put a camera in there, and I put a camera into the attic. And I actually got, I screenshotted, it's a Tapo camera, I put it up, and I was sitting on the sofa one night, and I thought, I'll have a look and see if there's anything there. And there was no noise, and I couldn't hear anything. And I just thought, I'll just have a look and see, I might, because I'd asked my dad, what do rat holes look like in insulation, and he told me. So I thought, you know, and when you're up there, you can't see them because it's just vast. So I was zooming in, and next thing, as I zoomed in, I saw a rat coming towards a little hole. And so I screenshotted it on my phone. I actually sent it in to you there. And now it's a bit dark and blurry because obviously it's dark up there. Mm. And then I went out home to my parents that night, and I my dad had been looking at it. So I said, I'll pull it back up and I'll show you where it is, because he wanted to know so he could put more poison up there. And as we were chatting, the rat reversed up the hole. You could see his bum and his tail first, and he reversed back out of the hole. So I've been told by like four rat people that if rats have another food source, they won't eat the poison. And if they're in the sewers, their bellies are full when they come in, so they're not really interested in food.
Okay.
And they said to me, because my house is tidy and clean and everything, they don't really have that much interest in coming out because there's nothing there for them. And it's wide open, so they are happy to stay in the walls and that. So
Rachel,
I just don't know how...
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Outwardly, I probably look like I'm all right, because I smile a lot, but I am going off my head. I think I'm actually going to crack up.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. And I live on my own, so I'm sitting at home thinking, is this ever going to finish? And I can't keep stressing my parents out all the time. And ringing my dad saying, Dad, I can hear him now. And where is he? Oh, he's over the cabinet. He's over this. He's over that. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm going out of my mind. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I've gotten upset.
No,
I didn't actually
like,
it.
Sorry, I'm not at all surprised that you're getting upset. I mean, what you're describing there is a complete nightmare, and you're doing everything you can to fix it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just the mental stress of that, even if you're not even afraid of rats, like you don't want them living in the house with you. So you can't even sit down in your sitting room, have a cup of tea, you're hearing them above you, you know.
No, they're everywhere. Even when I'm in the kitchen peeling vegetables, they're over my head. And there's massive digging going on behind the garden again. Now they're digging pits for something for more houses. And I think it has increased the influx, because I was watching my neighbour's dog actually out the window on Saturday morning. And she's brilliant. She's a Springer. And she was definitely tracking a rat underground in the garden on Saturday morning, because she was springing from spot to spot and digging frantically, and putting her head down the hole. So there was definitely a rat coming down their garden on Saturday morning, and she could smell him.
And I suppose a cat wouldn't work, would it? Just now that you mention a dog, would a cat work, or have you considered a cat or any other animals?
I emailed in, as I was hoping maybe someone could advise me on a ferret or something, because I've tried to source a ferret everywhere. I've asked loads of people and nobody seems to keep them anymore.
Okay.
I don't even know if it's legal, and I would be an animal lover, so I don't like anything suffering, but I'm demented and I don't have a cat. I actually don't think it would work, because they're not coming into the house.
Yeah.
The cat would be sitting listening to it as well.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
They access. Now, the hole under the wall is filled. We fill that with concrete, and the hole under the garden wall outside is filled with concrete. It's all filled. But wherever they're accessing, I can't see it. And anything that they were coming, like when they came up the floor of the hot press, they actually came up by the copper pipe. So, like, that's only, apparently they only need a quarter of an inch to come in.
Yeah. I found one in my barbecue, like, the size of the hole that he got into, like, in the barbecue. You know, you wouldn't believe it, really. Like, they just really can get into the smallest places.
It's actually fascinating. And even when I saw the little fella disappearing by the U-bend in the toilet, I was frozen to the spot. I couldn't believe it. He was jet black and he was really furry. And everybody was trying to convince me that it was a mouse. There was another night that I was sitting in the sitting room and I heard an absolutely ferocious racket coming from the block wall where my back door is. It's to the left of the door, so it's a block wall and there's a door frame on it because I've been told they can't travel the block walls. And just over the skirting board, inside the block wall, was a rat doing his best to get out. It's like he went down the wrong hole and he was trapped.
Okay.
And I rang my dad and I said, can he come out through the wall? He said, no, that's concrete. He can't eat concrete. Not knowing at the time that they can eat concrete. So I got the sweeping brush and I absolutely walloped the wall. And then he just vanished and I never heard anything there since.
Okay.
So...
Stay with this, Rachel. You've outlined very clearly your issue, and loads of people are getting in touch on this with some things that might help. We'll see what we can do for you. 51551 if you have
much,
any
Sarah.
Ideas. Stay with this, Rachel, if you don't mind. 51551 if you want to text us, and 0818715815 if you want to call us if you have any ideas that might help Rachel, or indeed if you want to get in touch on anything else. Annette is on the line. Annette, what can you tell us?
Hi. Yeah, well, we had a problem with rats and with mice. And what I did actually was our little dog was going mad, and like that she was sniffing around near the back of the house, so near where our washing machine was. So basically the rats and mice have a tiny skeleton, like their bone skeleton is quite tiny. So when you feed them, they might look fat and plump and whatever, but the actual skeleton is quite small, so that's why they can go through tiny holes. So what we did was, my sister said, she has a ferret, and she said, I'll send you up some ferret poo. And so she got a lunchbox, and she filled it up with ferret poo, and she posted it up to us.
So no ferret, just the poo.
Oh,
I don't blame you for laughing, Rachel.
I think you might need a ferret for this other lady. But the smell would knock yourself and all out. But she said to us, put it on the perimeter of the house and just put it down. And she said, that will be the end of it. And it was. They do sell ferrets. Yes, you can get ferrets. I don't have a ferret myself, but I know you can get them, and I can phone my sister afterwards and ask her where they got their ferrets. But
she might send me a lunchbox. She would,
because it's actually her daughter has two ferrets, but she often ends up minding the ferrets. But the daughter has the ferret as a pet, you know. Like, seemingly, they're quite okay to have as a pet. They're kind of furry and whatever.
Okay.
And they're very cute, aren't they?
And Annette, how do you send the poo? Do you send it through the post, is it?
Yes. She put it in a container, in a big lunchbox, and she just posted it up. I'll get her to post up. But don't open it, because it is... And you put it all around the house. Now, what I would say also to you, now that I'm on, is, and I had been on to Joe, this was a while back, but the council were doing a lot of digging work and had put down rat poison. And our little dog was on lead and she actually ingested poison.
Oh, no.
We didn't realise it.
Yeah.
And she nearly died.
So you have to be careful with putting down the rat poison. And it's not working anyway, Annette, I think, for Rachel.
No.
Annette, stay with us if you don't mind. I wonder, is that the most unusual thing that has ever been sent to the post? Ferret poo? Probably not, but there you go.
Ferret poo is the business. It sounds like it is,
and who knew? Annette, stay with us. We have Anne on the line, from Kilkenny. Anne, you're very welcome. You had an issue. What did you do?
I had an issue, but I prevented it. My sewage shore, a small one, I noticed there was droppings at the top, and I knew that's rat. So I looked it up. I have a rat trap put into my shore. So my sewage goes down. So if the rats are coming up, the door only goes one way, and that's the way my storage go. So he can't get in. They can't come up into my shore at all. It's a rat trap.
Okay. So it's sort of like a door that only goes in one direction, effectively.
Correct.
Okay.
So when my flow of water comes out of my toilet, it goes straight down the door. It's metal. The door opens, closes again, and the blighter, they can't get back up.
I know what they are, but it because we don't know where, what part of the sewer they're coming in from, we don't know where to put the...
Okay.
That's why I've been asked to come to the Liscairn.
It's gone beyond the point with you. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. I need to know where the layout is, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies, stay with us. Yeah, and we've other callers coming in as well. Sorry, Anne, to interrupt you. I'm going to take a quick break. You can stay in the line if you want. I'm going to take a quick break. One second.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, 0818 715 815.
Well, Rachel is still on the line. And Rachel, good news is we're getting lots of calls with solutions from people.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to get through as many of them as I can. 0818 715 815. If you want to get in touch, you can text us 51551 or you can email us liveline@rte.ie. We'll go to James. James Nicholson, you have a terrier, is it, rather than a ferret? That's what you're saying.
Jack Russell. Too ideally, because the noise is another additive that keeps them away. They can smell very well. They have a strong sense of smell. They're nearly blind. So they can sense the dogs.
Okay.
And
so
the dogs
will
take a few of them out and they'll present them as a prize. And that usually is enough to keep them. If you can have dogs as pets, ideally, you want to keep a dog all the time.
I did have dogs before, but it's just that because they're in the walls.
Yeah, but they hear them.
Okay. Right.
They'll hear them, so they know they're in the area then.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Right, okay.
And they will get a prize or two. When they get a prize or two, that creates its own sense of defence.
Okay.
It worked for me.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thank you.
Yeah, James, that's a good idea. So it's worth a try maybe, Rachel. I know it's a big commitment now to get a dog or two dogs, you know, like that's a big commitment in and of itself. But the smell seems to be something that's coming up with a lot of our callers, that if they smell something like the ferret poo, or if they smell the terriers, maybe that might make a difference. Catherine, you're very welcome to the programme. What's your solution, Catherine?
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for taking the call. Well, basically, we heard, and I believe it worked for some people that we know down the country, if you get peanut butter, they go mad for peanut butter, or Nutella. And they are both very, what we'd say, highly scented foods. But it seems they go mad for these. And if you put them on bread in the rat cages that the pest control people will supply, but you can actually buy them yourself in hardware stores anyway, certain hardware stores. So basically you bait the trap with the bread and Nutella, plenty of it, or plenty of peanut butter. And seemingly they go mad for it. Even if they've had, let's say, food out, they might come home for dessert.
Okay.
That lady's house.
Yeah.
Oh, the poor lady was terrible. God, it's an awful situation
it
for
is.
Her.
Yeah.
It's
Rachel,
a nightmare.
I don't know, Rachel, would you try
alone.
That? Is that worth a try? And you could take any brand of Nutella. It doesn't have to be Nutella, any brand of chocolate spread.
I could try the Nutella. I've been using peanut butter all the time. They have their own jar of crunchy nuts. And And it's a really nice one, so that it's very smelly and loads of nuts. But I haven't tried Nutella. I could try that. That's another one. We have a cage.
Anything's worth
in
trying.
The attic.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I'd try anything.
Catherine,
I would try anything.
You're very good, Catherine. Thank you very much for that suggestion. Martin,
Sarah,
Kate, go on, Catherine. Yeah.
Just saying you're doing a fantastic job.
You
really are.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
You're very good.
We listen to you all the time on Live Laura.
Drive time.
Yeah.
You're
so
very good,
well
Catherine.
Done.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
And thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. Martin Kay is on the line. Martin, what's your suggestion?
Hello, Sarah, and thank you for having me on. Can I just offer my commiserations to Rachel? Mm. She must have been going through hell. And I'm very
thank
sorry
you.
For her. No, the solution I offer is not something I tried myself, but oddly enough, I was told it by a lady, an elderly lady, whom I would consider to be wise in an old-fashioned sense of the word. But recently she just happened to mention this to me. And it's peppermint oil. They don't like the smell of peppermint oil, apparently. And if you scatter that pretty liberally, you know, around your kickboards or around store the pipes and stores outside, that may well do the trick. I don't know, but okay. I do know that she knows an awful lot of things in Sweden.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a good suggestion,
good.
Martin. Yeah, and again, it goes back to the smell, you know. Thank you, Martin, for your call today. I appreciate it. Jenny is on the line. And Jenny, you can relate to what Rachel is saying. You've had a bad experience yourself.
Hi, Sarah. How are you? Rachel, how are you?
Hi,
went
Jenny.
Through something very, very similar myself. And again, live on my own. And it went on for years. And people, God, I even feel a bit emotional talking about it myself because I totally understand what you're going through. It's terrible.
Thank
and
you.
Mine was so bad, I was going to sell the house. Now, it wasn't rats, it was mice. And I know people are being very nice, you know, ringing up with, you know, how to catch them. But really and truly, until you get to the point of entry, and how they're getting in, you're just firefighting, really. Now, I had a great guy who came into my house. Eventually, after lots of pest control people just letting down poison, and, you know, you'd be okay for a couple of months, and then they're back again. Yeah. He was brilliant. He came in. He went through every square inch of my house. He sealed up everything. He fed poison everywhere. I moved out for 2 weeks. And he took out 45 dead mice from my attic.
Oh,
so, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
As I said, whoever coined the phrase as quiet as a mouse has never met a mouse that lives and doesn't eat. I mean, the noise is phenomenal. It's like there's a goat up there, you know. But if you want to have a call or anything, I have to be more than happy to talk to you.
Okay, so it worked. And Jenny, were you in an awful state? You were, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And you'd find yourself sitting in the house, in the sitting room, sort of like what Rachel's describing. You can hear the noise overhead or on the walls.
Awful. My poor neighbours, I would go out to my poor neighbours and, my poor neighbour next door. I mean, he would come in and possibly exterminate one or two. Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
So I fully appreciate.
And the thing is, the thing as well is that you have, you know, you have like a small kind of little network of friends and family, and that you and you feel like you can't keep telling them about time after time. And people are how is the situation now? And I just get such a knot in my chest when I have to say, well, actually, they're still there, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
It's endless. It's endless. I find myself, you know, kind of staying away from people a little bit.
Do you really?
It's
all consuming.
Yeah, I feel like a complete dose, and that no one is going to want to talk to me because all I have to talk about at the moment is a rodent infestation.
Well,
listen,
would be happy to have a call with the experts and talk to you about did for me. I really, really would, because I fully appreciate what you're going through.
Thank you.
If anybody wants to send on your number.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do, Jenny, on that. And thank you so much for the call. And
thank
I think it's probably good, Rachel, to hear as well, you know, other people have been in this situation and have managed to get out of the situation. So there's some bit of hope there.
Yeah, it's very positive.
Niall is on the line. Niall, you're very welcome. What's your idea here?
How are you doing? I was working in a house where a guy kept kennels for show dogs and hunting dogs. And he swears blind by jail sluice that they hate the smell of disinfectant. A little bit like the earlier lady that mentioned peppermint. But I stand to be corrected now, but if anyone knows properly. But jail sluice, leave it around the house in the problem areas in a few small cups, and it might work.
Okay. Down the drain as well.
Have you tried that, Rachel?
It would go into the pipes then. No, I've tried a lot of bleach, all right, and Domestos, and but not jail fluid, actually.
Strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I put that down the drains, would that go? Because if they're coming through the pipes,
coming up the sewer, flush it down the toilets at night time. Put it into the drains outside. Put a few cups outside.
Yeah.
That the rain won't get into them. Leave it in such a way that the smell will get around.
There's actually
the corners of the house.
there's no sign of them outside, like on any of the pathway around the house. There isn't even a dropping around the house anywhere. No.
You won't see them. They crawl along the corners of the path and the house, you know, the edge of the wall.
Yeah.
They always crawl along that and fast. You'll never see them unless there's a camera out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a good suggestion, Niall, as you say, maybe cups of it if you can get into the walls or down the drain or whatever it might be, Jay's fluid.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Niall, thank you so much. Laura's on the line.
Problem, Laura.
Laura, thank you for calling the programme today. What's your own story on this?
Hi, Sarah. During COVID, we were all here doing our online work and the kids doing their online study and everything, and we spotted a rat in the back garden, and I nearly had a panic attack. The girls went TikToking and, you know, Googling all ways to get rid of the rat. But I said, no, not a chance. I said, we're getting out the professionals. I was totally freaked out by the rat. So I was wondering if anyone would come out to us during COVID. So I phoned up a pest control company. I can't remember what it was. And she said, oh, no, we can come out. And she said, have you got a side gate? And I said, oh, my God, is that where the rat's coming from?
Oh.
And I realised that she was just fits laughing at the other end of the phone, all of them here on their laptops and whatever, breaking their hearts laughing. And I'm still being slagged over it, 5 years later.
Okay. All right. Laura, thank you. So the rats were not getting in the side gate, obviously, but the pest control company might have.
No, the rats weren't. But the pest control man came through the side gate and he did get rid of it. So
okay. Okay. Well, that's
okay,
great. Laura, thank you so much for joining us with that. Susan's on the line. Susan, you have an idea, do you?
Yeah, no, I had a rat out the back and I said it to my brother, couldn't get rid of him. And he said peppermint oil. He had told a friend who had them running around the house and everything, he couldn't see, and it got rid of it for him. So I tried it and I've never seen him since.
Okay, so peppermint oil seems to be coming up a couple of times, Rachel.
Just back up the drops around wherever there, whatever.
And actually, I mean, I could put it in the, maybe sprinkle it on the insulation in the attic because there's a lot of droppings
everywhere,
in that now.
It drives them mad. They can't stand the smell. And it's a cheap way and not killing them, do you know?
Okay.
So give it a go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay, Susan, thank you very much for that.
No worries. Thank you.
And thank you for getting in touch. Like I said, Rachel, lots of people getting in touch. A couple of patterns as well now, I suppose. Smell seems to be a really, really big one.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's worth looking at.
It is.
Now, Sam is on the line. Sam Rochford. Sam, you catch rats with ferrets, do you? Is that right?
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good. Now, thank you for calling.
Great stuff. No, I was listening to the show. I was a bit embarrassed to call and my nerves was gone. And I said, if them people only knew what I do, you know.
Yeah. My nerves are shot as well, folks, with all the talk of rats. So that makes three of us.
I spread the word about ferrets, how absolutely fantastic of an animal they are. If you have a ferret will live till 12 to 14 years in captivity, either in your sitting room or a cage out the back. That's how long he lives. And he eats the equivalent of an egg a day. He will fit down any hole, and he's absolutely brilliant. If I'm not catching rats with them, I'm out catching rabbits, because they're absolutely brilliant, you know.
Okay,
they put
so we'll
food
say
on
now,
the table.
If you talk me through that, Sam, we'll say Rachel gets a ferret. Does she have to try and put it into the walls to try, or into one of the holes that the rats is getting in that she thinks, to try and show it where to go, or will it find out where to go itself?
No.
And how
no.
does it come back? You know, is it trained? Do you have to get it trained?
I'll tell you what you do. People travel from all over Ireland to my place in County Meath where I breed these ferrets.
Okay.
And I wouldn't breed an awful lot. I had 30 this year. I'm down to about 8 now at the minute. And I'll keep a half dozen because I do get called at 12 o'clock at night. The wife can't sleep. And will you come out, Sam? And they'd have to ring me. So I'd always have two or three ferrets absolutely starving. And when I say starving, as soon as I put them underneath the floorboards, they are nosy little individuals. I was on with Jerry Ryan 20 years ago, Lord be good to him, and I got a great plug. There was a lady in Walking Sound. She was having trouble. She had two or three different companies, and they were all demanding money, and there was still no rats coming out of the house.
Okay.
I was there a half an hour, and I got two rats, and she was doing handstand. She was delighted.
So this is what you do for a living. Go on, Rachel. Yeah.
Can I just ask you, if you put them under the floorboards, but you have the joists running across the floor, so how do they get
It's like to the other side
from
of the joist.
From one joist into the next joist. Yeah, well, if you pull one plank up, you can just feed him down each joist. Do you know what I'm saying? If you pull one plank up in the bedroom...
Yeah, we cut the floor in the bedroom, and but it's not close enough to the wall.
I know what you're saying. You'd have to make a few little incisions, like a little trapdoor kind of thing. You can just cut a small 6x6, so he'll fit in anywhere. And what I do, Rachel, is every single day when I walk out to the ferret, I make this noise.
Yeah.
And they run to the wire because they know that's food. So if I'm in your bedroom or in somebody's bedroom or under the floor in the kitchen, I make that noise by wanting to get him back out. Now, the only thing the ferret won't do is he will not bring out the rat yet.
Oh.
So how do I get the rat out? Well, it's very, very simple. Very, very simple. You have to understand a ferret is an animal. So in my vocabulary is, you don't just bring one, you bring two or three. Now, years ago, what I used to do is I used to put a little collar around them and let them in underneath your joints. Yeah. But what happens when there's wires and, you know, copper pipes and stuff? You get tangled, exactly. So what I do is I make this sound, he'll grab the rat, and most of the time he'll run with it, you know, to somewhere where he can...
What's
the
sound again, Sam?
Sorry?
What's the sound you make? Oh, okay.
Just like a squealing noise, like imitating a rabbit that's being caught. If you catch a rabbit, he'll squeal. So if you make that sound, the ferret will know, oh, that's food, yeah. So he'll just come out to you, you know. Now, he doesn't take long. The only thing he'll eat in the rat, and I've done it a million times, is the most nutritious part of the rat is through the brain.
Okay.
Now, if you have an animal,
Sam, I tell you what, you know, because people are just finished their lunch, if they're lucky.
He's you know, and he move on to the next one, you
lovely.
Know.
Lovely, I understand.
The only animal in Ireland that will fight to the death to protect their young is a rat and a fox.
Okay.
A squirrel will push her young out. A hedgehog will do the same. Badgers will do the same. But a fox will get behind her young, and the same with a rat. She's ferocious when it comes to young. But see that lady that was on earlier on?
I think they are
nesting
actually at the moment as well.
See that lady that was talking about the ferret poo. If you have a little bucket, I keep some all the time. And I went to jobs where there was conifer trees grown, separating one house to the next. And the lady, I said, listen, I need to put my ferret down and let her run up along the conifers. She says, I don't talk to the person next door. Do you mind? And I says, well, I tell you what I can do. I can still do the job. And she says, how are you going to do it without the ferret? I says, watch this. And I put down a load of droppings. She rang me, says she, Sam, I don't know what you're after doing. I haven't seen a rat here, and that was 5 weeks.
Oh, so that's interesting, Sam. Before I let you go. So are you saying, Sam...
You don't have to put the ferret on the ground. The droppings. When a ferret, that lady, somebody was talking about putting Nutella on bread and putting her into it. It's called a larson trap. A larson trap is a trap that a rat walks into and the door, so it doesn't kill him.
So
it just traps him. You know,
So
what I do is, you're after being asked me, and it probably sounds squeamish, if you want to train a ferret who to kill a rat, you bring the live rat home and you throw her into the cage with the ferret.
Okay. And okay, but the ferret droppings work.
We'll
keep away from the squeamish aspect of this for the whole lot of us, if you don't mind. But Sam, listen, that sounds like you do a good job, and you know this is something that maybe.
Thanks so much.
Rachel might look into that, and Sam, thank you very much for getting in contact with us.
Absolutely,
it was great talking to you. Yeah. And I hope if you want to pass on her number to me, I can definitely give her a little ferret. You know.
Yeah, you're very good, Sam,
thanks
and I'm glad you got
thank
over
you
your nerves to make the call. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Sam.
Des McDermott, I think, might be our last call on this for this afternoon, at least. Des, I'm being told there's loads of calls. We may have more. But Des, thank you so much for getting in touch.
Yeah.
Go on, what do you have to say?
No worries. I'm doing a very good job there. Rachel, no need for ferrets, no need for anything. I'm going to give you a very, very simple solution. Get yourself a milk bottle, put oil into the milk bottle, your olive oil on whatever, cheap oil, cooking oil. Switch it around into the bottle. They go crazy. Rats and mice go crazy for cooked bacon. Put your bottle up against the little run. They always run around the skirting boards or whatever. Tilt your bottle at an angle and put some bacon on the bottom. They'll go in for the bacon and they can't get back out. It's simple as that. They'll switch around because the oil won't allow them. And all you do is put the lid on the bottle, bring them down the road and let them out. You're not even killing them.
Oh, I see. So do you mean now, when you say an empty milk bottle, you know, like those 2 litres that you get, something like that, is it?
Yeah, even your milk, you know, the milk bottle there, actually a Lucozade bottle, either a small Lucozade bottle will work fine.
Okay, soft drink bottle of some sort.
I remember giving it to a farmer. I lived in America for 8 years and I remember giving it to a farmer. He was pestered with rats. And he must have told the whole townland afterwards. Every day he'd go in, he was getting 6 or 7 rats at the same time, but he wasn't killing them. Put the lid on the bottle and away down the road.
Go on, Rachel.
Yeah, but they're not, you see, they're not coming out into the house.
Yeah.
So of course they're in the attic. Bacon.
You reckon?
They're in the attic.
Rachel, when you walk into a house and bacon is cooking, can you smell it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Soaking the mice and the rats.
Okay.
And if you put it close to a back door, you could even put it outside the back door if you can find the runner where they're coming in, and they'll actually go outside to get in that bottle. They'll love bacon.
Okay.
And
well, like the rest of us did, as they say.
Yes, exactly. And then you're not killing them either.
Folks, stay with us. I have to take a quick break. 51551.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. 0818 715 815.
Gina is on the line, and Gina, you're very welcome. You have had your own issues with rats, I think, is it? Can you tell me your own story?
No, it's actually mice.
I sent in a video
there to your colleague, your researcher, of my house is just crawling with them, and peppermint doesn't work, disinfectant doesn't work, these plug-in thingies on the wall do not work. I live in a thatched cottage in the middle of the country. And they are literally, I mean, I actually put a trap here as in I put a crumb beside the telly where I sit watching TV at night, and I put the camera on it, and your man came up, took the crumb, looked at the camera, practically winked, and went back down the wires. They're climbing up the wires of the telly, they're climbing up everything, and I'm actually going to put my house up for sale because of it. I can't live with it anymore.
I've been in the house vacant for a couple of weeks.
You know,
it's really hard to sell a property when you've got this going on. You know, because like I was saying to someone, I've 2 years left of my mortgage, and like if I wanted to sell it, sure, who's going to buy it? I wouldn't sell it to someone without telling them. I wouldn't do that. So it raises another question again. It completely like destroys your life that way as well.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Well, the house is empty. Yeah.
Go on, Gina. Yes,
the house is vacant for a couple of weeks, with no people and no food sources, and some poison put down. They'll be gone, like that other gentleman said. But because I have animals around me here, cats and dogs, I won't lay poison while they're in situ.
Yeah, and we heard earlier, you know, there are the risks of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, Gina, I'm sorry to hear now you're going through something similar, because, I mean, as Rachel has outlined as well, there's nothing worse, really. It's just all-consuming in your life. And thanks, Gina, for getting in touch. Rachel, lots, as you can hear yourself, huge reaction, you know, people, you know, very sorry for the situation and loads of different potential solutions as well. I don't know, will you try any of that, do you think?
I would be very interested I'll try, and I'll get the Nutella and everything. I'll try anything. But I would be very interested in trying the ferret. I really would. And I was hoping that someone would come on and say, I'll bring a ferret and let you use the ferret. Or even the ferret droppings that's quite a good idea as well, because someone did say to me, if the ferret was in the attic and he sprayed or he did whatever he did himself, whatever they do, that if the rats got the scent, that they would just leg it.
Yeah. Okay.
But
so that
to be
might
honest,
be what, yeah.
It's really, it's to try and find the source. And if it's underground, it's like somebody said, it's like banging your head off the wall because they're just going to keep coming back in. And for us to find the point of entry, we need cameras underground.
Okay. Well, look, Rachel, stay in touch with the show, will you? And let us know how you get on with all of that. And we wish you the very, very best with that, because it's a desperate situation.
Thank you so much for giving me the airtime. I really appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah. Well,
I was very surprised because, to be honest, I've had so little response from so many
organisations and people. I was really stunned when I got the phone call this morning because I only emailed last night.
Yeah,
really,
well, no, we're very happy to talk to you.
Someone actually took me seriously. Thank you so
much. Yeah, because I mean, because you feel alone.
I do. I mean, I have tried the councils, as I said, Irish Water. I've tried politicians. There's only one politician that has tried to help me at all. I probably can't mention his name, but he's really tried very hard. But they've stonewalled him as well. He's getting no calls back from anyone. County engineers, there's no one contacting him. And I mean, if he's not getting phone calls, they're not going to phone me.
Okay.
And
well,
it's
hopefully,
so disappointing.
Yeah. And I understand the situation you're in, and hopefully, maybe this conversation might help in some way. But do stay in touch, Rachel. And thanks so much for talking to us on the programme today.